and gentlemen, and welcome back to your number one Metal Gear Solid podcast. This is the Sons of the Patriot cast classic. Did you see what we did there? Obviously, if you, the listener, can distinguish between voices, you know that this is me, Andrew, and we're doing a kind of a crossover episode today. With me is just Javier. Javier, how are you doing?
I'm good, just taking it easy here.
Taking it easy.
Relaxing.
We are taking it easy. It's no one's turned up, right?
Nope. I don't see anybody. And I was going to say, when you said Patriot Cast Classic, I was going to say more like a crossover, but I'm really glad you addressed that, because as you know, now I have power.
The first rule of the Sith: all those who have power are afraid to lose it. Sorry, I had to go. Star Wars there. Anyway, yeah. This is because this is the usual time where you guys record Sons of the Patriot cast now, which used to be the older Patriot cast slot. But I'm back home. We have a kind of a study week, so I'm back home studying at home, and you're on. So I don't see, Javier, I don't spend enough time talking to you, man. It's just nice that I could sit down and me and you can talk Metal Gear, you know, casually. And you know, you can tell me about the problems you're having in your state, and I can tell you about my university life. But that's probably for a different show altogether. But yeah, let's just address. I haven't seen, the thing is, the listeners don't give us enough feedback. I have been getting absolutely no feedback at all about, do people like having the two shows? Do people like one show more than the other? What do they want changed from the shows? I would really, really, because I know people are still listening. I know we're getting at least, each show gets about 200 downloads in 7 days of its release. I know that people are listening. So please, if you are listening, take 5 minutes out of your day to tell us what you like, what you don't like, what you would like for us to continue, because, you know, your feedback does make the show better. This new formula, Javier, I've got to say, I am really, really impressed with your hosting abilities, sir.
You think so?
I really find the episodes very interesting to listen to. The last two, the first one I found very interesting, and then you guys started insulting me. But the Halloween one, I really liked the Halloween one, especially I was listening to it on Halloween night. I was laying in my bed in the dark, and that kind of mood thing there, that really did work. But how have you been finding, you know, being kind of the main host now?
I think I've been doing okay. Sometimes I don't, like last episode, the Halloween episode, actually, I didn't feel like if I was doing my best. I didn't drink coffee, maybe that's why. But today I had my coffee, and I was going to tell you too, don't see any feedback, even on our forum, which is patriotcast.proboards.com.
Yep.
People haven't been turning to say much. I mean, the only people that post are me, you,
Matt, and Save NBS Matt, now and then.
And yeah, and Matt pretty much posts almost every day, at least, yeah, you know, yeah, short sentence. And that's what I was, or another thing that I was going to point out. You don't have to like write a blog or anything. We're just asking you to come over and say hi, and, you know, at least post a question or you know, do something, because I know that there's people that are like signing in. I've seen different people signing in, and I think the other people that are listening and haven't done anything, I mean, come on, it's a free podcast that you're listening to every week. It's the least you can do for us.
Definitely. I mean, I was going to say exactly the same thing. I mean, you're getting, these days, even though I started uni and this whole thing was about cutting down on the show, you're getting more Metal Gear podcasting than you've been getting ever, I think, now. You're getting two shows a week. So, you know, if you're enjoying the entertainment, if obviously you're listening, please take 5 minutes out of your day to send me or Javier an email. It doesn't have to be positive. Just make us aware of your listening, and make us aware of what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear, because this is a community show. And
Well,
you know, it's driven by the community. And if there is no community, there will be no show. So if you would like to keep the show afloat, please get in contact with us. What did you
also,
want to say?
Also, some people say then when you don't hear anything at all, that means that you're doing a good job. But I mean, I would like to hear, because when you're doing a bad job, people point it out. Oh, you're doing a bad job. You're doing this. You're doing that wrong. You know. But if we're doing a good job, at least say something. You know.
Yeah.
We want to know that you're out there and you're listening. Otherwise, we don't have really a motivation to do this. We just do it for the, you know, for the shits and giggles, like they say here.
Indeed. Yes. No, but yeah. I mean, I really don't want to repeat ourselves and drive the episode into the ground. But yeah, please, if you are listening, do. Make yourself, you know, just tell us you exist. And the thing is, I mean, we've been getting, you know, I keep on checking the US store because, let's face it, US is the biggest store. It's the one where everything is. And, you know, we've got about 16 reviews and they're all 5 stars. So it's, you know, people are appreciating. So I think we are doing a decent enough job. But please just help us improve the show so you can have a better show, because this is all done for the fans. But yeah, I mean, so we've got these two shows now, and I mean, as you were saying, at the beginning of the last Sons of the Patriot cast, I could hear in the beginning, I guess there was this kind of, because it was you and Jordan and Matt and Sam, I think it was, and just keeping the conversation. But I think once you got it going, it was really, really, really good, really interesting. And you know, you added the humor in there. I was really the scariest thing in MGS is old Eva and her chest. I couldn't agree more with that. But I don't know. What about, because the thing is, Javier, now I'm talking to you like on the same level as host to host instead of, you know, host to co-host. So it's very interesting. It's two giants in the MGS community.
I would like to think it is that way too.
Yeah, definitely. But I don't know, Javier, as a listener, what are you thinking of this new thing I'm doing with Hannah, in terms of, have you been getting a chance to listen to my old show?
I've listened, how many episodes? 3, right, so far, or 2?
We are on, I think it's, I think it's 3, yeah.
I've been listening to each one. I think yesterday, I think it was actually when I listened to the second one, and I really like it. I mean, it's really nice. It's really like refreshing to hear, you know, somebody that's playing it for the first time. Although I hear she's spoiling it on herself because she's watching videos online and stuff like that.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that's. She's one of those people that always watches like internet memes, and I know you're on a forum. If anyone is like Javier and doesn't know what an internet meme is, an internet meme is basically a popular video on the internet, a parody of something, you know, Trollolo or Will It Blend or something like that. So she watches a lot of these kind of like Metal Gear Awesome, a lot of these Flash videos, and it spoiled it for herself, which was really unfortunate. But I don't know. I find it so interesting just seeing someone play the game. It gives me a completely, I don't know about you, but it gives me a completely new perspective in terms of playing the game. It's almost like I'm playing it for the first time again.
Yeah. I mean, I tried my friend. I tried him to make him play the game, and because he would see me sometimes playing MGS3, MGS4, whatever, and he would always be interested into it, and I'm like, "Here, look. I'm going to lend you the first disc. I'm going to lend you the I have the Essential Collection." So I'm like, "Here. This dude had the game, I don't lie to you, for like almost either a year or half a year. I'm not sure, but somewhere in between there, not less than half a year. And he had it in his house. He never passed the first part where you just arrive to the dock and try to get it into the elevator. And I'm like, "Dude, what's taking you so long?" And he said, "Well, I can't make it. There's 2 guards, and every time I kill one of them, another one comes down, and this, that, the other." And I'm like, "Just go on the internet then. Just look for the facts. Look for the facts how to pass that part." You know, certain time passed again. I asked him, "Hey, what's up with the game?" And he's like, "Oh, I still have it there. I haven't played it in a while." So I'm like, "You know what? Just bring me my game. I don't want to lend it to you anymore." After a certain time, I just got tired of, you know, trying to make him play.
I know exactly what you mean. I still have one of my oldest childhood friends. He's into games. He's into a lot of games, but he's into he still plays loads of Dragon Ball Z games and that kind of stuff. You know, he doesn't. I tried, and this is Metal Gear. It's not just Metal Gear. I tried to let him play GTA, and he's like, I don't like it. I tried letting him play Modern Warfare 2. Didn't like it. Didn't like this. But he likes things like Assassin's Creed and Pokemon and that kind of stuff. But he just very weird taste. And I tried, and he knows I'm a huge Metal Gear fan because he knows me for a long time. And I tried to just to let him play Metal Gear, and he just, it's too boring for him. It's too, because he's one of those people, his attention always needs to be refreshed every 3 seconds. You know, so it's not everyone. I mean, I'm not saying that if you don't like Metal Gear, you're stupid. Far from it. It's just some people. It's just not for some people. You know, some people just don't
have patience.
Yeah. Just don't get it. I mean, I don't understand. A lot of people just want every one of their games to be like Gears of War. You're just constant action, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's entertainment, but you know. It's all about taste in the end. And obviously, if you're listening to the show, your taste is very similar to us. At least.
Good taste.
Metal Gear. Yeah, good taste.
Really good taste.
Really good taste.
If you're listening to this show, you have really good taste.
Yeah, and this is our chilled out show. So, I mean, this is our kind of housekeeping show. You know, this is, I don't even know what to call it. Just me, Javier, chilling out. But the thing is,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was kind of you can play this show as a director's commentary, as a DVD commentary over one of our shows. it was really fun recording episode 39 when Willard Blend joke happened. I couldn't stop laughing for 10 minutes.
You know what? I think when you were saying about taste and about the, you know, some people have different tastes, it's true. I mean, Metal Gear, it's for people that like a more slow paced game with, you know, where you have more patience to do things. I have, my brother-in-law, he was the one who introduced me into, Modern Warfare 2.
Right.
And he doesn't like Metal Gear. He tried to play Metal Gear online. He tried to play regular Metal Gear, but he's the kind of guy who likes just to, you know, shoot,
right,
just
yes.
shooting games. Mm. So it's difficult for, you know, people like them to play that kind of game because they want just action and action and action. Mm. They don't want to stop. And yeah, like you said, it's not bad. It's not like, yeah, I'm not like those guys in the internet who are going, oh, you suck, those games are stupid, this and that. No, I'm cool with it. I'm actually having a good time. I was just playing Modern Warfare 10 minutes ago before we started recording this.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I just came up playing Aladdin on the Sega Genesis, or Mega Drive as we call it here.
I remember that game. That was awesome.
Dude, that was the first game I ever played. On my 5th birthday, my uncle bought me a Mega Drive, and it was the only Mega Drive in the country. It was so rare to find. And the two games that I had that he bought me, I was 5, remember this. I had Disney's Aladdin, and I had Mortal Kombat 2. And I loved both of them equally.
That's range. That's a lot of range.
And at least I think it didn't screw me up. I think many people beg to differ, but I don't think it screwed me up. And I loved both of them equally, and no one protested. And me and my uncle would just play Mortal Kombat. I would fatality him, throw him in the acid pool, rip his spine out. It was good. It was good fun. And then we'd go back to Aladdin, and I'll tell. But no, I was playing Aladdin, and it's one of those. It's. I think Aladdin is on the same level of nostalgic value as Metal Gear is for me. Because it's one of those games you can just go back and just, you know, it's like Mario. It's just, you know, hop platforms and funny sounds come out and that kind of stuff. But as you were saying, Metal Gear, you know, it's one of those things you can play different games, but I think you always go back for Metal Gear, you know, for that kind of taste of game art, you know, if you know what I mean.
Like I said in the forum, patriotcast.com. Dutchprobowers.com.
Yes.
I was saying that it was refreshing to see it, and I feel like playing it again, just like listening to you guys talk about it, and I think that's very cool when you have a game that you always want to replay and replay. That means a lot of love and a lot of, I mean, it's a PlayStation 1 game. How many crappy PlayStation 1 games are you willing to go back and play? Not many.
Oh, Phantom Menace for the PlayStation 1. It's... I'm sorry, I've got to go off on a side, but there was a...
Damn.
Have you played it?
No, but it sounds awful just by the name. Phantom Menace, Star Wars.
For the PlayStation 1, the thing is, I got a PS2. I didn't have a PlayStation 1. I got a PS2 for, I think, in 2001, Christmas, when it first came out. Actually, when I first moved here to England. And I got a PlayStation 2 with a PlayStation 2 memory card, but my parents bought me PS1 games.
Oh,
I had Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, as you guys call it there, and Phantom Menace for the PlayStation 1. But I didn't have the PlayStation 1 memory card, so I would just play them, turn off, and had to start off from the beginning every time I'd go back. So by the end of it, I became crazy good at those two games. So I would do like speed runs. In 3 hours, I would get to the end of the game.
But wow.
But Phantom Menace was like, it was, because it was like the only Star Wars game I had at the time, and you know, my love for Star Wars. But I would just play it because it was Star Wars. And then at the very end, like the Darth Maul level, you couldn't physically beat him. At least I couldn't physically beat him with a lightsaber. So I had to get out like the machine gun. And it was machine like gun. Obi-Wan shooting a Darth Maul machine gun. Just imagine that happening in the movie. But yeah, I mean, so to sidetrack. But there are so many crappy games on every console, you know. And, you know, Metal Gear is one of those games. That's what I realized. You see, as I was playing, as Hannah was playing it, as I was seeing it through the eyes of someone new. Because, you know, when I played, I skip a lot of the cutscenes because, quite frankly, I know everything they're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, you can't skip the cutscenes because she's taking in the story. And you realize that the game is timeless because, I mean, the graphics do look worse, but the graphics aren't going to get any worse. You know, they're...
Yeah.
But I think it's the actual art direction and, you know, the cinematic. Because, I mean, you know what, you know, you're trying to get, you know, you're studying for to get into the design, the design industry. And I think it's the general production and the art direction of the game, the angles, the cuts, you know, it really keeps it timeless. And I think that's a lot of people had the problem with Twin Snakes, even though the graphics were updated. Yeah. It just didn't have that feel, you know?
But you know what? I know a lot of people give it a hard time to Twin Snakes because of all the Matrix sort of cutscenes.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, there is a lot of them. I grant you that. But at the same time, I think it's pretty cool that, you know, they take the time to do that. And I think it's pretty cool because they showed Kojima what they had done with the game.
Mm.
And they showed him a version that was pretty much just the same as regular Metal Gear.
Mm.
And he said, no, I want something different. This is a different console. I want something different from you guys.
Mm.
And they went and redid the cutscenes. And yeah, like I said, grant you, there is a lot of, you know, Matrix styles, a lot of it. And people probably didn't like it that much, but I think it's pretty original, and I think it's good that there's other things, you know, going on. So I really do like that the kind of scenes that it has, even if it's just saturated with them. I don't really care for the saturation. I mean, I actually like seeing slow-mo and, you know, pretty much every action scene because, you know, sometimes there is too much confusion. And you don't see what's going on.
Mm.
Like, for example, let's say like Transformers. A lot of people, a lot of people also complain that you just see like two masses of different colors just like going at it, and you don't know what's going on.
Mm.
So you have to find that middle ground, that balance in between.
Mm.
You know, the very cool like sort of Matrixy scene and the like fast-paced kind of like little bit of Bourne Ultimatum kind of scene, you know.
Definitely.
So I do like it. I mean,
well,
that's just like,
yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I think there's a difference between being inspired by something and putting your own style on it. So for example, you know, I think The Matrix is one of those movies that influenced a lot of people in terms of the visualization of things and the 3D camera, you know, doing 3D loops and slowing down time and all that kind of thing. And I think sometimes people get inspired by that and try to put their own take on it, and it just goes all out of the window. And going back to what you were saying about the Twin Snakes, I had Twin Snakes for the GameCube. I think don't know where it went. I think I traded it. I traded for a lot of games, actually. I think I traded it for... Because my original Metal Gear broke. The original Metal Gear broke. And what happened is I had Twin Snakes. But then I traded Twin Snakes from someone I knew for the original Metal Gear, Devil May Cry 2, and Devil May Cry 3, and one other game. So it was a good trade, I think. Because it was back when Devil May Cry 3 just came out, I think. So it was still a pretty new game. I liked the game. And going back to it now, it kind of didn't have the same feeling, first-person view, and they did change things up a bit more. But it's, I think a lot of people just expected a carbon copy of MGS1 with just enhanced graphics. And it's like a lot of people gave The Watchmen a hard time, the movie, because it was too much like the comic book adaptation. The majority of the scenes were actually taken from the Watchmen graphic novel. Yeah. And, people give it a hard time because that's the big thing. People, haters gonna hate. People always like to critique more than they do to appreciate. And, people give you a hard time if you're too close to the source material, and if you're not close to the... And if you change things up, people will always give you a hard time as well. So,
yeah,
you can't please everyone. It's impossible to find that middle ground, you know?
Well, those are the kind of people that don't appreciate, They just want... I mean, which is it? Do you want to be appreciative, or do you just want to be, a critic? Because everyone can be a critic. It's easy to be a critic. Believe you me, way too easy to be a critic.
I can't agree
with
you.
But to appreciate something, it's harder. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's one of the rules to live by. It's easy to critique, but it's so hard to create. And I know that from personal experience. I'm studying computer science now, and the fact that building software, it just takes so much time and so much effort, and everything can go wrong. Everything can go wrong. And it's these people, be it movies, the movie industry, the game industry, anything. And that's what I mean. The thing is, Transformers, it was, it's not a very good movie, but I really appreciate, I'm speaking about the second one. I really appreciate the work that ILM put into making the Transformers, and nothing can take that away because, there was so much detail. They had every single part in the Transformers had a moving part,
If you go to the extras, and you see how they did every single transformer with every single part moves,
and physics, and logic, and the thing is,
people just don't understand.
Yeah, you have to respect people for that. You cannot not respect, because it took so much time and effort. I mean, they got paid for it, but still, I think it's a craftsman. I don't see. The Optimus Prime in Transformers 2 or Metal Gear Solid 4 or any of the Metal Gear games, I personally don't see it any different than a great car or a really well made instrument. They're all works, really great works of craftsmen, and it's great craftsmanship making something that stands out and making something that's beautiful. And I think Metal Gear is the craft, one of the ultimate craftsmanships of in the game industry.
Exactly, it's been honed. It's been made, pretty much just custom made for the people that loved it until now. And not only that, let me tell you, I am not the kind of person who is into modern art and sees like a splatter of paint on the wall that says, "Oh, I love that. It's exquisite." Yeah. No. I actually hate it. I hate modern art.
Yeah, I'm not.
But
I
love classic art. I love, seeing the detail that goes into paintings from, the 1500s and before. It's just crazy how these people were capable of achieving all, such great works of art with, all the technology that they had at the time, which wasn't much. And that's what I like. I like the honing and the skill of your art, of your craft.
Definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. And, Metal Gear is like that in terms of, in classical art, and you could see every single stroke. For example, the chapel, I've been to Rome, I've seen,
Oh.
The chapels on the walls, and those painters, they would paint like the roof of the actual
Yeah.
chapel. And I don't know about you, but you hold your hand up in the air for a minute and it starts to get tired. And they were like doing it
Yeah.
upside down and stuff, and that, you can see every single brush stroke, and it's photorealistic and stuff. And for me, that will always be a lot more interesting than some dude just like, oh, look, this is a can of soup.
Exactly.
Nothing against them. They can, if people appreciate it, it's great. As long as you're enjoying something and it's not harming anyone,
Yeah,
I'm
it's
very
just
happy
your
for you.
opinion.
Yeah, I'm very happy for you. But personally, and I think you as well, you appreciate something that's more substance. At least for us, it has more
No
substance
pun
in it.
intended.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but I mean, substance. I mean, I've got substance for the Xbox, and substance for the Xbox suffers from a very similar issue that Twin Snakes does, I think, in terms of it has this one thing that they that the one control that kind of screws the game up for a lot of people. So, Twin Snakes was you can go into first person view, and it was a GameCube controller, so it didn't have quite the same button layout.
Yeah.
Substance. Xbox only has two triggers instead of the two L triggers and two
Oh,
R
okay.
triggers. It only has one. So the first
Yeah.
person view was impossible to do in Metal Gear Solid 2. There was no R1. So
Yeah.
what Substance did, and I really have to do an episode because I bought Substance and I have that stupid unboxing video of me trying to open the game with one hand and failing.
I haven't seen
You're gonna see it's
the
basically me.
Xbox
It's me
version.
sitting and opening up because I'm holding the camera with one hand and then I'm trying to open up the envelope with another hand, and like it's I'm trying to open up an envelope with one hand, and I'm like trying to hold it between my legs and and I'm just talking to the camera, stalling for time. But it's,
How many videos like that should be are there in YouTube? There's probably a lot of them.
yeah, and I think
People
it's.
failing, trying to open their games.
It seems to be the Patriot Cast channel is full of things like that. It's me, the first time I booted up Peace Walker for the PSP, it wouldn't run because I wasn't in the game section. That's youtube.com/thepatriotcast. And you can find us on patriotcast.probals.com. But
On Facebook.
yeah, I've got to do a Substance episode because in order to go into first person view in Substance on the Xbox MGS2, you had to click the analog stick, the left
Oh.
analog stick, and that really is a curve in terms of getting the controls. And especially for me, I had a difficulty with Peace Walker controls trying to get the camera to work like I wanted to. And that's one of those things as well, because you're so used to pressing R, and now you move, and then you have to press the actual thing that you move with to go into first person view. So I think for some people that broke the game.
Well, hold on. You press the which one? The
The
left?
left, because the thing is, I mean,
You press it
you.
down and it goes into first person view, but if you let it go, it goes into regular view.
No, you have to press it again to go out into the regular
Okay,
view.
well, it doesn't sound so bad if you
It
do it that way.
doesn't sound so bad, but the thing is, it's one of those things. It does feel like you have an extra finger or something that shouldn't be there. It's a big learning curve, especially when you
Yeah.
go into that first battle with Olga. And I use first, I think most people use first person view a lot to take her out, and that does get a bit frustrating. But it's nothing major. I mean, the game was still ported and it still worked, and it was fine. But that's funny because Substance for the Xbox, because I have both, I have the PS2 Substance and I have the Xbox Substance.
Yeah.
Substance for the Xbox only has one disc. It only has the Substance disc. It doesn't have the Document of Metal Gear disc,
Yeah.
which is really weird because I mean, the Document of Metal Gear, I mean, it was pretty much a glorified DVD. So, it's funny how they didn't choose to put that in there. Almost like, making it less of a game. But that's just something small. But getting back to the whole, the playing Metal Gear. I mean, I think I was really lucky with Hannah in terms of she is like geek. She's not going to mind me saying that. She's like a geek girl in terms of, she's really into anime and games. I mean, she came to uni and she brought her PS2 and her Wii with her. And so as I didn't, I only brought my Mac. So, but I was really lucky, and she actually embraces those kind of things. It's not like a lot of the times if you want a girl to play something, you literally have to force them to do it, and then they don't like it. It was the opposite. She actually asked if, you know, could I play Metal Gear? And I was like, yeah, sure, let's make a thing out of this. And we did, and it was really fun.
Oh.
And she completed Metal Gear. We were there in two goes. It was just two playthrough sessions. It wasn't like it took a year to get to Sniper Wolf. It was literally the first one was about 2 hours long, and we got up to Psycho Mantis, I think it was. And then the second one, it was about 4.5 hours long. And we played until like 1:30 and beat the game. So, and you could see that she was really, really enjoying it. And I think that's, I was really lucky in that sense that you actually found someone who really enjoyed these games. Enjoy the story and that aspect of it, because I mean, even if you play with a lot of guys would be like, they haven't played Metal Gear. And the thing is, there was, because the second time we were playing it, it was me, her, Anthony, and one of our other friends, Tom, and he played Metal Gear before, and he played the first three, and he was a fan, but that's what I was saying, he's one of those guys who likes to critique. So we're playing it there, and Hannah's playing it for the first time, and Snake's talking, you know, Snake and Campbell are talking about Naomi betraying them and that kind of stuff. And Tom is like, oh, this dialogue is so bad. I can't believe that. Oh, I can't believe that. And I'm like, dude, come on. And but I think with Hannah, she really doesn't critique anything. And even if she does, she doesn't really take it to face value like some people do. Mm-hmm. So in that way, it was very, very interesting. And we started MGS2 now. We finished Snake's chapter, I guess. So I look forward to reporting on that.
And that's really cool.
Yeah.
What I was gonna say, when you know, when you play a game and people that enjoy and that enjoyed the game before are there, it's probably better for you if you think you're gonna play it and enjoy it. And there's other people who enjoyed it, have played it too, and they're helping you and stuff like that. Mm. I think it makes it more fun.
Oh yeah.
And every time I would play a game, playing it by myself, it's fun. Mm. But if you have somebody there it's who likes so much, it as
yeah.
well,
yeah.
it's that, so much better. That, and you can tell she was having fun with it.
Yeah. Mm. That's why people go to the cinema with friends. You know, it's just one of those things. I mean, I think a lot of media is best shared with people. You know, music isn't the best example of that, but you know, I think a video game is definitely a very, very, it's because I mean, we can all remember playing with our, you know, friends, relatives, dads, uncles, you know, and they would be sitting and playing, and we would be like looking at them like, oh my god, this is so cool. And if I really did feel like I was really young, and someone next to me was playing it, I felt so much like every time, because that's the other thing, we're good at Metal Gear, you know, we know where the traps are, we know where the trap door is, we know how to avoid the lasers, you know, we know how the enemies are going to behave. That was very interesting, seeing how the enemies were going to behave. In terms of, like, you know, she didn't
like, she was crawling away slowly from the that was funny. That was a part that got me laughing.
I couldn't believe it.
What did you think when you were crawling slowly away?
We set up the ketchup and everything. Johnny runs into the room, and instead of getting up, she slowly crawls backwards towards the door. And
maybe she thought he wasn't gonna notice.
and it's like, you know, because the issue of controls, like every time she would try to and I would always imitate that, like she couldn't get Snake to walk in a straight line a lot of the times. or she couldn't get him to quite, like, to press the action button, press circle to climb up the ladder or something. So it would be really weird. It's like, Snake, do you have this problem where you start walking around like a retard instead of going in a straight line? or the other thing, I was like, I almost made a phrase like one of those teleshopping marketing commercials. Is like, do you have problems walking? And then after you walk, you accidentally crawl on the floor. but it's kind of hard to visually explain, but it's I always wanted to take bits of it and just say the adventures of Stupid Snake and put it on YouTube as a series. I'm gonna have to do that. But it's definitely, and you feel a lot more. For example, there was the bit with trying to get early on before you fight Raven for the first time, to trying to get past the lasers there, and she just keeps on getting caught. And it wasn't because she was bad, it's just she didn't... I think it's actually one of the faults in the game. You can't quite see where the lasers are positioned, mm-hmm. which one... It's depth perception kind of issue, I think.
Yeah, it's top-down view, so it's kind of hard to see.
Yeah, and me and Ant were literally screaming, like, every time she would get caught. Like, we understand the depth perception, but she doesn't. And, like, we know the laser's going to come down, and we're screaming at her, run, and she's not doing it, and then she gets caught, and it was... it was like a bunch of really manly dudes, like in a football match. it was just us in a dorm screaming at about Metal Gear. I don't know. Just, the thing is, I have no idea what the roommates think. I have no idea what the roommates think because yeah,
these guys are really into football.
No, but it's like two dudes and a girl go into a dorm and then come out 4 hours later.
I was having some fun with that too. So I don't know what your neighbors are thinking that you guys are doing right now, and all the screaming and yelling.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
coming out of the room like at 4 a.m. or something like that. I don't know what time, but
and they're like, I can't do it. Do you want me to try? Yeah, okay.
But awesome.
Yeah, it's
life in the university. That's life what in it
university.
Is.
Yeah, it's but I don't. I have it's my dorm mates. They're fine because I was really lucky with Ant. You know, we do the same course and we have the same interest, and he lives 2 feet away from me. So I was really lucky in that sense. The rest of the guys, those two girls, we don't really see them ever.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know. There is the other guy, he works a lot, he's an architect. It's just there's this one guy downstairs who keeps on walking around topless. And like he always keeps on playing the chart hits. So whether I like it or not, I always know what's number one in the charts.
Top 40?
Playing it. Yeah, yeah. It's like, and it's Katy Perry with Teenage Dreams, one more time. And it's Bruno Mars with whatever the hell he sings these days, you know?
All the music that I don't like.
And I'm like, I'm tempted to like do like a battle, bring my subwoofers that I have lying here, and then just cram George Michael into it, you know. But we're not gonna do that. I really hope.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's a nice guy and everything. He's just, you know, it really scares every time Hannah comes over, and because I live upstairs and he lives downstairs. Mm-hmm. Every time she presses the buzzer on the door, he's the first one to open the door. And he's always topless every time he opens up the door. And I'm like,
damn it. Oh, yeah. I know what it is.
It's not good.
The dude is falling in love. That's what it is.
but yeah. And
that's what I was talking about when I said the photo, because I wanted to see.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, I'll have to do that. I have a photo of just me and Ant, but it turned out to be really fuzzy. And but I'll go back and I'll take the picture for everyone.
Yeah, all three of you guys playing Metal Gear.
Playing Metal Gear, all right, excellent. I'm going to do a Peter Parker thing where he takes pictures of himself as the Spider-Man. So just position there and do an action shot.
Exactly.
Of me on the floor just screaming, no!
Better yet, just put a video, your video camera, and start filming when you guys are doing the run throughs and all the streaming and all that stuff, and just post it on YouTube.
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually thinking of maybe just putting a sound recorder in the room while we play. But
that'll be awesome too.
I mean, maybe I'll try that next time just to see what's going on, and that would be a very interesting experiment. I'm not sure if the listeners would like to listen to that. But, I mean, just to wrap things up, we talked about so little Metal Gear in this episode.
Listen, if they listen to us talking crap every week, then I'm pretty sure they're going to listen to that too.
Mm-hmm. But definitely. But, I mean, just to wrap it up, I mean, Javier, I'm so grateful to you for for picking up the show and doing this and kind of doing your own thing with it. And I think you really found yourself hosting wise, you know, you found the rhythm. I think that's the main thing, finding the rhythm when talking to people, when doing a podcast. Because I remember listening to so many podcasts back in the day, there'll be like a certain Pokemon podcast which I don't want to mention, and it would be just so awkward. It's like, okay, now the call lines are open. Call us, guys. And they're actually like relying on people to call in. No one calls in. And it's just half an hour of them awkwardly just like, you know, call in, you know, we can tell you about Charmander and that kind of stuff. But it's all about, you know, I think it's all about finding the timing, and hopefully fans.
That's actually that. Not a bad idea. We should put that on the Twitter feed every time we're gonna, you know, we're gonna record. Maybe some people will show up, and we'll just, if they call, we'll just put them on the line. If not, then we'll just keep talking like always.
I'd love to do that, but again, will people turn up? I'll be more than happy. Okay, listeners, next time we record a proper show, the call lines will be open. And all you have to do is just Skype call us. We are PatriotCast, one word. Just add this in Skype and call us then. So that'll be an experiment. See what people do. That'll be pretty cool. But anyway, Javier, do you have anything planned for the future for Sons of the PatriotCast? Any topics or anything that you could tease the audience with?
Well, actually, I don't know, because for this week, I wasn't even prepared to do a show. I was just like thinking, what should I talk about? Last week, Jordan was actually the one with the idea of having the Christmas episode. The Christmas Halloween. I'm going forward in time. I don't know what's wrong with me. Yeah, he was the one with the idea. He's like, oh, since you guys have Christmas over there, I mean, shit. I'm sorry. Since you guys have Halloween over there, then we can do an episode. I was like, awesome. That sounds good. But, you know, I've been, like I said before, I was talking to you, you know, this is sort of off the record, but when I was talking to you about Calvin, he was, you know, really excited at first. And we were, you know, going back and forth, sending emails. And I really felt he was like, sort of just, you know, co-host. We're just going to do a co-hosting thing. But right now he's just MIA. He disappeared.
Disappeared, yeah. And we've been trying to.
I've tried to communicate with him. He has an answer. And you say he's in a very hard school right now, doing a lot of work. Yeah, so might be that. But I mean, Calvin, if you're listening, please come back, or at least send me an email. I'm worried about you.
We are. Javier is worried about you, and he's like your big Costa Rican brother.
You know? Exactly.
Costa Rica and Northern Ireland. Two of the most randomly related countries. But
And some people have actually disappeared from the podcast. I mean,
definitely, yeah.
I would like everyone to come back, you know, every time, every week. Mm. Granted, not everyone can do it all the time, but, you know, at least once in a while.
I think
at my list, and I have like 8 people that, you know, show up usually.
I think we overdid it with when we did that big debate, solid or liquid, and that was about like 9 people online.
Wow.
I think you were there as well, do you remember?
Yeah.
I think especially at a debate,
that solid or naked snake.
Solid or naked snake. But it was fun. But yeah, I mean, there are loads of people, and I think that's the good thing, and I hope the listeners enjoy it, you know, because every week people are free to hop in and hop out. It's kind of like we're a sitcom, you know. We have the principal cast, and it keeps on, you know, keeps on swapping and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, you know, there are some great people who we would like to come back. And I think around about here we will end the episode. The audio track will continue because Calvin did manage to come on to the show, and we spend about 20 minutes talking to him, so I will put that into the episode, but you guys can count it as one big outtake. As for the MGS part of the episode, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you all next time. Okay, well, as I can see here, Calvin's on, so let's Calvin into the conversation. Let's get Calvin into the conversation. Ring, 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 ring. Calvin, are you there?
No.
No.
I'm ignoring you.
Yeah, you have been there. Javier, we just a second ago, Javier said on the show that he was very, very worried about you, that we thought you were in some kind of trouble. And Calvin, what have
I was
you been
so
doing?
Worried.
What have you been doing for the last couple of weeks when we thought you were in trouble?
Well, to be fair, I was in trouble. A plane crashed into my house, unceremoniously cutting off my Wi-Fi connection and rendering me paralyzed for the last 2 weeks. So that is why I have not contacted you. Of course, that's utter rubbish.
How did you get unparalyzed? Did you use nanomachines or something?
Of course. You know, all that white blood and whatnot. To be fair, I don't actually have my body left anymore. All I have is the top of my head and my spine.
Your head in the jar. Your head in the jar.
Yeah, I am.
No, but you just decided to go on holiday and leave us.
I'll tell the actual story. What actually happened was my internet connection dropped out about 5 minutes before the end of the show 2 weeks ago. And unfortunately, it didn't come back on for a number of days. And then I left for England on Wednesday, the 27th, I believe.
Where were you in England?
Near Chester. That's the closest I can get you. I think Wirral, I believe, was the county.
No idea what that is.
What?
You mean to say you were actually in the same political land soil that Andy Blythe was at the same time,
and you didn't
even bother to say, hey, I'm in England right now.
I couldn't. There was no Wi-Fi where I was staying, or in the immediate vicinity.
Or in England, yeah.
Or in England at all. You know, you're a very backwards country. I never realized until I visited.
Yeah. Hmm. How did you find England, Kevin?
It was lovely, very interesting. The people are friendly. The technology is very advanced. I think everybody should live there. It's far better than Scotland. Job.
I would have said pretty much the same. I would have said pretty much the same as where I live, since you guys are like basically neighbors.
It's the same country. Come on, let's all admit it. It's called the United Kingdom. It's the United same country.
Indeed.
Exactly.
I accept that.
We accept that. Donnie doesn't. He's got some kind of a weird Sean Connery
he's in denial.
Going on. He's like, ugh. Anyway, never mind.
You guys got to sing that song all together, the song that the boss sings at the end of Peace Walker.
I love you. No. I don't know.
Sort of a pure song from the 70s.
Yeah.
Sing.
But yeah, I mean, Kevin, it's great to have you back. How have you been enjoying what me and Javier have been doing for the last couple of weeks? Have you been enjoying the show?
Yes, I have. I actually listened to it, even though you didn't believe me, you untrustworthy people.
You didn't.
But yes, I did listen to it. It was very good.
As a fan, would you like to say anything you liked about it or critique any of the shows?
Critique? Well, that one from who was originally from Costa Rica. What was his name? I can't remember his name, but he was. I don't know. I just didn't like his chipper attitude. It was
Mr.
quite off-putting at times. No, but it was. Yeah, they were good. It was interesting listening to someone who had never played the games before, you know, and finding out what they were thinking of their experience and whatnot. But yes, I thought it was very good. Good to be away and, you know, come back refreshed and whatnot and listen to all these bright, innovative podcasts. This is the Patreon cast.
This is the Patreon cast podcasting family.
Oh, yeah. You have to create some kind of group. The Patreon cast
organization.
We can be like...
We
can be like the Jackson 5, you know.
Well, who gets the, you know, who makes the cut and who doesn't?
Yeah, which... Oh, well, yeah, there's only five. Well, which one's going to be the four talentless ones? That's what I want to know.
Well, you, Javier, Jordan...
So you're going to
be
the
Calvin.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry to go off topic. I mean, I think listeners can stop listening to this now. This is just like a big outtake. You guys know Michael Jackson's got a new album coming out, so...
What?
I saw it on his website. It's like... The new Michael Jackson album with all new tracks and stuff like that. It's available for pre-order. And,
He really isn't dead.
He's taking the Tupac Shakur route of... Tupac has released 6 albums when he was alive and 8 post-mortemously. So that's an interesting tidbit there for the listeners. Yeah.
Well, they can always record a lot of crap when they're not on, like... you guys know Nirvana, right? I'm pretty sure you do.
Yeah.
There's like they released a box set of music that had never been released, and it has like 1,000 songs. I don't know how many it has, like 100 something songs that were never released.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure they might have some left somewhere.
Well, I mean, they said that Michael Jackson had about 100 songs recorded that never came out. So,
Musicians always do that. They always have backups.
Although the thing with Tupac was kind of weird, because in one of his post-Molten albums, it was like, the last track was like, "Expect me to come back like Jesus," in his voice.
And I was like, dun, 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 dun.
I was like, maybe he's not dead. just like
maybe he's in a cryogenic state.
Like Walt Disney.
And somebody's gonna attach parts of other Tupacs or
other Tupac.
He's been cloned.
He's gonna become the four pack. Anyway,
that would be if he's cloned and not cryogenically frozen. Or is that what you said? I didn't hear.
I don't know anymore.
I was just making the point that pretty much like Big Boss, he's gonna return from the grave with parts.
Yeah,
of
then there'd be three of them.
Tupacs.
Then it would be six pack. Oh my god, great, those three of them.
Javier, way to try to bring it back on topic. And Calvin, I'm not impressed.
And failing.
You derailed.
I didn't even notice he was trying to bring it back on track.
Trying to bring it back and failing.
Well, the thing is, I mean, to all the listeners, it's kind of hard to talk about Metal Gear because no news. Slow season. Doing our own thing now. I'm doing my own thing now with Hannah and Javier. You're doing your own thing now with, you used to be Calvin, but then he left.
So, but I'm back, and better than ever.
We weren't even going to record an episode, but we had a casual episode. But Calvin, is there anything that you would like to talk about?
Not that I can think of. Not at the moment. Have you replaced Jordan, Javier? Because there was only two in that episode, I assume. So you are the new Jordan.
Yeah,
pretty much. I like to believe so. Now I'm Andy's new lover.
Now, I like to believe I'm Jordan. You know, it makes me feel important.
Now me and Javier are going to do a special podcast.
Jordan, send all your angry hit mail to agmblythe at...
Yeah. I thought you said the majority of the email, but you're like, at... And that's for the listeners to guess.
The hate mail part.
Yeah, but no, we have been getting no hate mail or no love mail whatsoever.
Uh-huh. Come on, people, give us some hate or love, whatever. Hate
or both.
Or neutral, you know. We're always up for some neutral.
But Calvin, we never got Samuel from the US, you know, your new enemy.
My new enemy, yes.
Should interview him with Colin.
I hope Sam, if you're still listening to this, come on the show, because I was talking to Sam through email, and he said he would like to be on the show, but he's got time zone differences as well. So hopefully we can get Sam on a show one day, and ding, 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 Sam and Calvin can battle it out awkwardly.
Can I make a disclaimer right now?
Yes.
The only reason I did that big rant was because I wanted to try and speak for as long as possible in an Irish accent. That was the only reason.
But the thing is, in the final edit of the show, you ended up sounding like the worst person. I had to cut out what Donnie said. I had to cut out the half hour of travesty that Donnie said.
Exactly. That was the funniest part, that Donnie said all the worst things in the world. And he was the one that got dropped out. He didn't even say anything in that episode.
Yeah, and I ended up sounding like a demented leprechaun, which was completely unfair.
I cut out what Sam said as well, because Sam, Sam from the forum.
Sammy, yeah.
Yeah. What he said as well, he said like something similar to Calvin as well, and he said a bunch of stuff, and then at the very end he said, basically, I agree with Donnie, and I just kept that one bit in. So the way it sounded is...
That's true. And it was so funny.
The way it ended up sounding was, I finished reading the email. Then Javier is like, Sam, give me some of that sweet Kojima money. I have a family. Read better and good luck. And then
write better.
Yeah. And Calvin was like, yeah, I agree with Javier. And then Sam was like, yeah, I agree. No, sorry. Donnie was like, yeah, I agree with Javier. Sam was like, yeah, I agree with Donnie. And then Calvin was like, where do I start?
Where do I begin? All right, well. Right now, I'm laying it down. I only ranted at you, Sam, because I wanted to speak in an Irish accent. None of it was personal.
In the end, Sam,
I didn't mean any of it. Donnie said much worse things. Yes. Direct your hit towards him. He's used to it. I'm not. I'm prepared to not be here.
Sam, if you're still listening, please don't be mad at Calvin. He is the nicest guy around. I had Thank to you. Cut out yeah. what Donnie said because I just didn't want you to be very upset.
See, Donnie actually swore I didn't. So yeah. even though I was ranting, like, I kept it clean. Well,
now I have to jump in and say, yes, it's true. Calvin, it's the nicest guy. I've liked him since we started talking and going and doing the Sons of the Patriot cast. And Sam might even be listening to that now yeah. that it's out. So Donnie said much worse things and he does have a temper. So we all learned that last time we were all together. Now we can say that Calvin is actually the nicest one in the whole community.
Completely. And the thing is, hey. If you guys want to know what happened to Donnie in the last, please go to the last Patriotcast episode, the last one without Hannah in it. So the last one when we were all together, and listen to the outtakes to see what actually happened.
How much did you put in? Because I don't remember.
I will hang up on you, sir, right now.
Then,
Donnie?
Yeah.
Donnie.
No, I put in most of it. I think I put in pretty much all of it.
Yeah.
I put in pretty Fair much enough. All of it. And Sam was
You know what
there.
A good plan is? Know what you're going to say before you start saying it.
Hello. I did hear though that he came and apologized to you, Andy.
He did is apologize to me, yeah. In the end, and it was all cool in the end because you know it was all for good fun. But he's on Facebook right now and he's not replying to me.
It's like deja vu.
Yeah, but I think we
that's
should...
weird. These people know that we're recording on Saturdays and they don't even try to show up and send a message. Are you guys recording?
Mm-hmm. Well. Yeah, it's not the brightest of times for the Patriot cast. But anyway, I'm just going to put a disclaimer after, like, just about around the time when Calvin came in, that this is just going this part is just one big outtake of us talking about nonsense and nothing to do with Metal Gear.
Metal Gear 3DS.
It's fun to get together and talk again, you know?
It definitely is. Metal Gear. We have to.
I mean, what are we going to talk about Metal Gear? I mean...
What were you talking about before I got here?
There's no news. And we're talking about every episode that we have done up to now. Like, we haven't really talked too much, right, Andy?
No. It was just me and Javier catching up. And then you had to go and interrupt it, Calvin.
Sorry.
How dare you, sir?
The picture cast review.
Yeah, I think it was like we called it a DVD commentary, so you can actually play this over one of the Patreon episodes.
How's that gonna sound?
Bad.
Two iPods at the same time, one headphone in each ear.
But if you guys want to get a good behind the scenes commentary, I would recommend Conan the Barbarian. Where the film's director just basically talks about how epic the movie which he made is and how amazing everything about the movie is. And Arnold, who basically, obviously, he was stoned during the interview. And so the thing is, Arnold hadn't seen Conan since it first came out. So basically the majority of the dialogue was Arnold just remembering what was about to happen. So it was just like the scene is like, this is the scene where I walk. It's a good And then it's like, and then he just started talking completely random stuff. It's like, I get a lot laid in this movie. It's awesome.
Okay, great.
And the director's like, oh, look at that. That's a beautiful sunset. Oh, yeah, it's good. This is the scene where I climb. The thing is, he's like describing the character's internal monologue in really basic words.